Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung with another edition of Prophecy Today Intelligence Briefing. This time, David James and I will come together for our weekly conversation, and this time a focus on the Pope traveling to the Middle East and meeting with an Islamic Arab leader. This meeting was for the purpose of forming a partnership religiously between Islam and Catholicism. David and I will discuss how this was possible that it could happen, what is the Pope's motivation to make it come about, and how it plays into the end-time scenario of the last days. David James will join me at this broadcast table in a moment, right here on Prophecy Today Intelligence Briefing. I want to continually remind you that I have a prophecy bookstore. It's located on my website, prophecytoday.com. When you get to the website, go to the bookstore, and you'll find materials that will assist you in your study of Bible prophecy. As it relates to the subject that David and I will discuss today here on Prophecy Today Intelligence Briefing, may I suggest my study aid entitled Ishmael's Islamic Invasion. I go through the history of the Islamic peoples, where they came from, how they came into existence, what their doctrine is all about, how it plays into the world's activities today, and especially the end-time scenario that is found in God's Word and the role that Islam will have in the fulfillment of God's plan for the future. You need to go to my prophecy bookstore, located again on my website, prophecytoday.com. When you get to the bookstore, make a purchase of Ishmael's Islamic Invasion. We now bring to these microphones David James. David and I have a weekly conversation focused on an issue that will assist the body of Christ to understand current events, especially in light of biblical prophecy, but indeed, in fact, in light of how we should live our life. Now, this weekend, we catch up with David. He's at the end of his first 2 weeks of teaching at the Word of Life Bible Institute there in Uganda. David, how's it going out there?
Well, I do always enjoy coming to Uganda, and this is my fifth year in a row to teach at the Word of Life Bible Institute here.
David, maybe you could tell our listeners a little bit about Uganda and the current political and religious situation there.
Well, Uganda sits on the equator in East Central Africa with Kenya to the east, Tanzania to the south, Rwanda to the southwest, the Democratic Republic of the Congo to the west, and South Sudan to the north. Also, a large part of its border is formed by Lake Victoria, which forms the headwaters of the Nile River. For about 70 years until 1962, Uganda was a protectorate of the United Kingdom, and so English was the first official language of the country, and then Swahili was added as the second official language in 2005. In fact, there are over 80 languages that are spoken in this country, which isn't all that large. After Uganda gained its independence in the 60s, there was a bloody civil war, which was then followed by another brutal decade with the regime of Idi Amin in the 70s. Severe corruption continues to plague Uganda in both government and business. And in fact, a couple of years ago, a watchdog agency, Transparency International, ranked Uganda 151st out of 176 countries on its list. As far as the religious situation is concerned, 85% of the population would identify as Christians, with about 40% of that being Roman Catholic, about 30% Anglican, and only around 10% being evangelical, and even that statistic includes Pentecostals and Charismatics. Islam has a growing presence in the country, as it does throughout East Africa, making up the remaining 15% of the population, and in fact, from where I am here on the campus, I can hear the Islamic call to prayer three times a day. So Islam really is sitting right on the doorstep of Word of Life here in Uganda.
Last week, I had a discussion with Mike Gendron, David, about the Pope's visit to the United Arab Emirates. But I also wanted to discuss this with you, since you have been teaching about Roman Catholicism for over 30 years, and also because right now you're in a part of the world where there are regular clashes between Christians and Muslims.
Well, this meeting in the United Arab Emirates isn't the first time Pope Francis has made overtures toward Muslims, and he's made it clear that he believes that the God of Islam and the God of the Bible are the same, and so Muslims should at least in some sense be viewed as brothers. I was reading an article about the meeting on the Guardian website, which is a British newspaper, and it carried the headline, Pope and Grand Imam Sign Historic Pledge of Fraternity in UAE, which of course is the United Arab Emirates, one of the Gulf states. The article goes on to say, the Pope and the Grand Imam of Al-Azhar have signed a historic declaration of fraternity, which means brotherhood, obviously, calling for peace between nations, religions, and races in front of a global audience of religious leaders from Christianity, Islam, and Judaism. The article also noted that the Pope and the Imam, and this Imam is the head of Sunni Islam's most prestigious seat of learning, the Pope and the Imam arrived at the ceremony in Abu Dhabi hand in hand in what was meant to be a symbol of interfaith brotherhood. And then the Pope also met with the Crown Prince, who later tweeted this. He said, we discussed enhancing cooperation, consolidating dialogue, tolerance, human coexistence, and important initiatives to achieve peace, stability, and development for peoples and societies. So, Jimmy, this really is a big deal that we do need to be watching.
How is such a meeting, dialogue, and agreement like this even possible, David? I know the Pope tends to push the envelope in a lot of areas, but also the Catholic Church sees itself as the only true religion in the world.
As you said, this Pope does seem to like to push the envelope on a lot of things, and this meeting in UAE is certainly no exception. And you're right. Catholicism historically has seen itself as the only true religion, and that for anyone to have any hope of salvation, they would need to be baptized into the church, faithfully participate in the sacraments, consistently obey the teachings of the church, and try to live a good life with the hope that when they die, they don't have a mortal sin on their soul. However, in practical terms, all that changed with the last ecumenical council of the church, which was Vatican II, that was held from 1962 to 1965. Even though the church would say that doctrine doesn't change, there was a massive shift that can be seen in the Vatican II documents, which I actually read when I was in seminary, such that the Catholic Church came to be viewed as the sacrament of salvation in the world. And so what this means is that if anyone is saved, even if they practice another religion or even no religion at all, then they are saved in and through the Catholic Church, whether they realize it or not. So I guess we could say that it isn't your grandmother's or maybe your great-grandmother's Catholic Church. And so even though Pope Francis in some ways is seen as being a radical, all he's really doing is being faithful to the Vatican II documents and trying to make sure that the teachings and the position of the Catholic Church is found there is actually carried out throughout the world.
David, you taught a course here at our School of Prophets last year on understanding Islam. So from the Islamic perspective, how would you evaluate what appears to be some sort of a meeting in the middle between the world's two largest religions?
To be honest, I don't think the leaders in Islam can be trusted when it comes to ecumenical dialogue. The leaders in the Islamic world, whether it be the Sunnis or the Shiites, they are determined to establish an Islamic caliphate or kingdom throughout the world. And they will say and do whatever it takes to subdue the world of the infidels, and that would include people of the book, meaning Christians and Jews. And this subjugation of the world means forced conversions or heavy taxation or even death if those first two options are rejected. And in Islam, there is something called taqiyya, which is the concept that Muslims are permitted to lie and be deceptive about what they believe as well as their intentions in the face of persecution. So you can go so far as to even deny your faith in order to preserve Islam in the world. And of course, how and when it is applied is quite open to interpretation. So I think this Islamic cleric and the Crown Prince in Abu Dhabi, as well as probably most other Muslim leaders who choose to interact with the Pope or anyone else for that matter, they see things like this as both a matter of preservation and whatever drastic measures need to be taken to advance the caliphate. Bottom line, they can't be trusted.
David, a lot of conservative evangelicals have been talking and writing about the agreement, and many consider it a further stage setting for the end-time scenario that we find in the prophetic Word of God. Now, having just finished up the course of God's plan through the ages, how would you say that this all fits together in God's timeline for the future?
Well, here's the way I see it possibly playing out. The rapture is the next event on God's prophetic calendar. Then there will be a gap of time between the rapture and the beginning of the tribulation, or Daniel's 70th week. This gap is necessary for the revival of the Roman Empire based on Nebuchadnezzar's dream in Daniel chapter 2. Then there will be a leader rise up from obscurity, the little horn in Daniel's vision of the beast in chapter 7, and this is the Antichrist, also spoken of in Revelation as the beast from the sea. So I think in the aftermath of the rapture, America will likely collapse and Israel will lose its only protector in the world, and this will provide the prime opportunity the Antichrist needs, and he will consolidate the military and economic might of the European nations to protect Israel from its Islamic enemies with a 7-year peace treaty. Then the false prophet also comes on the scene, the beast from the land, and I think it's very possible that he will be the head of the Roman Catholic Church at that time, the Pope. And this groundwork that is being laid by the present Pope will play into this, so that the Islamic nations will agree to this peace deal, but probably with no intention of keeping it. We also know the Antichrist is going to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem because he is going to enter the temple and declare himself to be God at the midpoint of the tribulation. We know that from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And that means that the Dome of the Rock will have to come down. And I think this is what will trigger the war of Ezekiel 38 and 39, when a coalition of Islamic countries, likely led by Russia, will come against the Antichrist and the nation of Israel, and they will be destroyed by God.
Great discussion, David. Great insight. Thank you for bringing all of that to the table. David, we'll talk to you in Uganda next week. Looking forward to another conversation with another issue. Thank you so very much for being available. We'll talk to you next week.
Well, thanks so much, Jimmy. It's always great to be with you. I'll look forward to talking with you next week, and you'll catch me just as I'm heading back home to the United States for a few weeks.
David James gave us this report, which informs us of an agreement that has brought together Islam and Catholicism. Some have suggested that these two in partnership could become the one world religion that is foretold in Revelation chapter 17. Now, I have to say that is not possible according to the prophetic passages of Scripture. For example, when you go to Ezekiel 38, verse 18 through chapter 39 and verse 6, you'll see that the ancient Jewish prophet Ezekiel revealed that Islam will be wiped out early on in the tribulation period, in fact, in the first 6 months, so that the false religion, Revelation chapter 17, can come about there in Rome, Italy. Both Islam and Catholicism are exclusive religiosity, and that means the world will have to either convert to Islam or to Catholicism. That one world religion will be headquartered in Rome, Italy, Revelation 17:9, not Mecca, Saudi Arabia. And that is my prophetic perspective on the news today. I'm Jimmy DeYoung. Thank you so very much for joining us on this edition of Prophecy Today Intelligence Briefing. Be sure to come back again next time when we will continue to look at current events in light of biblical prophecy.